Hey, Justin, I know it's been a while, but you know what I see?
What do you see?
I see the underdeveloped resources of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, a consortium exploiting over $1 billion in forest products. I see a paper mill and a mining operation, a green belt between lakeside condos, and a waste management facility focusing on the newest rage and waste, medical refuse, infected bandages, body parts, IV tubing, syringes, fluid, blood, radioactive waste, all safely contained, sunken in the lake, and sealed for centuries. Now I ask you, what do you see?
I just see episode one of season two of the Screen Bros podcast, and we watched Great Outdoors and Leprechaun in the Hood. So let's talk about those movies.
Welcome to the Screen Bros podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Screen Bros podcast, where we talk about movies, good, bad, ugly, and I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm your host, Justin, and this, welcome back. Season two, it's been a minute since we posted. I know, don't start coming after us. We know it's been long. A lot of things have been happening in our own lives, but we're back. We're back talking about movies, and I'm actually very excited about these two movies, because this was fun on both ends to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, very different ways of fun.
Very different.
One was a classic that we watched as kids, and it was great to revisit that. And the other one was making me question my life decisions.
Honestly, and like, it was really good to relive, like, just kind of watching this movie and just quoting it pretty much word for word. And like, thank God nobody was with me. I watched it alone because I would have been annoying everybody in the room.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you're watching by yourself and you're still quoting the movie out loud.
Yeah, and you look around and you're like, I have a problem.
It's like, what is wrong with me?
And then, just honestly, like, learning from the next movie that rappers and leprechauns are basically the same person. And I really learned that.
Leprechauns are actually kind of racist.
They really are. Like, leprechauns are hecka racist. And, you know, Scotland, what are you doing over there?
Ireland, brother, Ireland.
Hey, listen, it's been a long week. I've been so tired.
I understand, but that is Ireland. We apologize to our Irish listeners.
Sorry, and Scotland, you're pretty dope. Anyway.
That's true, Scotland is amazing.
I want to go there.
I want to go there.
Probably won't be allowed now. Anyway.
If we were talking about Highlander, it would have made sense, but we are not.
Maybe we'll watch that.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Before we dive in, we should probably tell, like, we're watching the two movies we're actually discussing. So we're going to talk about the 1988 classic The Great Outdoors with the amazing and wonderful John Candy, rest in peace, and Dan Aykroyd. Just setting the scene for that one, this the lovable everyman on a family vacation, and Dan Aykroyd as Roman Craig, his brother-in-law. It's written by one and only John Hughes, which is like Home Alone and Breakfast Club and all those great 80s classic. And it's a quintessential summer vacation gone wrong.
And as somebody with where we can all relate, family vacations are bound to go wrong in some way, shape, or form. And this movie really expounds upon that idea of how can it get any worse? And it really does get worse day by day for a whole week for John Candy. Truthfully.
So I want to just preface this for you throughout. When we talk about this movie, I'm going to talk about how it could be a horror movie. Like, in an alternate universe, this is a horror movie. And I'm going to pinpoint scenes and points in the movie where this is where he actually murders his family.
Okay.
Right. I have, like, notes of, like, oh.
You turned Great Outdoors into a horror movie.
Movie, but I was, like, watching now, I was like, hey, you know, another movie, he'd murder his family. This is where John Candy snaps.
Honestly, we can go to the infamous scene where, honestly, Roman, we can understand why John Candy hates this guy. Because freaking Roman, or Dan Aykroyd, is an absolute asshole in this movie.
He is such a douche.
He is a douchebag, and like he kisses his wife, like on John Candy's wife. And I'm sure, like, as soon as you said horror movie, that scene where he's about to stab him,
that's how it starts.
It's just that scene where it's like, ah!
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is the beginning where he eventually snaps.
This is like this in a world.
I'm telling y'all, I'm going to bring it up several times. And one part that I can't wait to share that I wrote down, I was very proud of. I was like, this joke is going to crush.
I can't wait to tell this joke.
It's going to crush.
It's going to crush.
So, really, it's John Candy's family. They go to this cabin in Canada. It's a family vacation. He's an everyday family man, wants to give his two sons a good time like his dad did for him. He's just a good family man. And then comes Roman Craig, Dan Aykroyd. Showing up uninvited is, like, truly a dick move.
Like, truthfully, like if you show up uninvited, if you heard of anything, listen, if you're listening to this right now, just don't go to places uninvited, because I'm going to start saying that. Don't be Roman. Don't be a Roman.
Don't be a Roman.
And if you ever watch this movie, which I highly recommend you should, because it's just a good family movie, don't be a Roman, and you'll see why.
Yeah. So shows up and doesn't get along with his brother-in-law because he's kind of douchey. I guess, what is he, inside trading for, like, stocks? I never really quite understood his job.
It's like he's like a stockbroker. He's a financial bro. He's like at home. He's classic. He's got a weird art piece in his front, like, foyer. Like, it's just awkwardly there. He's just a douche. Like,
he is kind of a douche.
He's a finance bro. Like,
that kind of know-it-all Chet. John Candy's character, Chet, just wants to make some hot dogs, which apparently are made from lips and assholes, which I have quoted that line several times throughout my life.
Yep.
Lips and assholes.
And I've gotten many, many weird looks. And then the looks of people who have seen the movie. Right. And they're like, I know that one. So, and, you know, it's even much more of a beautiful moment when they say, well, I guess I'm just a fan of lips and assholes.
Yep.
And they finish the line.
Old fashioned. I like lips and assholes, and I like lips. And then he kisses his wife on the lips.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah. Don't be a Roman. That's what I'm saying, peeps. Yeah. Do not be a Roman. But who can, like, this movie? Yeah. This movie jumps from weird places and just moments that if you and your family were to go out on a lake family vacation, just like, yeah, there's going to be some things that happen. And this movie really will showcase all the things that it can go wrong. My favorite part of the whole entire thing of it going wrong is just the raccoons. You know it's coming, and it's the same song. Ah, bah, bah, boom, boom. And it's these.
If anyone that's never seen this movie, the raccoons are, they have subtitles, so we understand what they're saying. And I mean, it's like three times in the movie, and it's funnier every single time.
Yep.
And they even mentions the lips and assholes. It's like, you know what hot dogs made out of? Lips and assholes.
Yeah, just like even the raccoon knows. They know.
As they should. They're garbage pandas.
Trash pandas. Oh, man. And then who can forget, you know, blow it out your ass. Who cannot forget about that? I've said that so many times to people, and they're like, where did that come from? And I'm like, dude. Does nobody watch movies anymore? just that one cinephile who's just like,
knows.
Who watches movies anymore?
My favorite, though, is the bear story where he talks about the bald-headed killer bear of Clare County.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, the
yep.
camera going around the circle. So people that have never seen the movie to set this up is he's telling a scary story. There's a true story of when they came up for their anniversary. And you see this his bear, played by none other than Bart the Bear, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
was also the bear.
Legend.
It was also the bear in The Edge, if anyone's ever seen that, with Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins when they have to survive. Crazy movie. He's been in other.
I haven't seen it.
A movie in the 90s with a bear, it's usually Bart the Bear. Anyways.
Hell yeah.
Tells the story, embellishes a lot. Like, where it roars and the floorboard starts shaking and, you know, his feet going up and down his Birkenstocks, and he shoots him and it shaves the top of the bear's head and it becomes the bald-headed killer bear of Clare County.
Yep.
But my favorite part of that is when he throws the drink on the fire and he's like, it might be the bald-headed killer bear! And it just explodes through the chimney and scares the shit out of everyone. Classic. Just kill a bear. Boosh.
That's like, oh my god,
it's like I'm 20 pounds overweight. You could have killed me.
Oh my god. I love also, you know, the great outdoors, like, it, you know, there's so many like family movies out there, like the how could a family reunion or family vacation go wrong. There's many it's a classic movie outline, like Meet the Fockers and Meet the Parents. Like, how could it go wrong?
National Lampoon's Vacation.
National Lampoon's Vacation. Like, got to give it up to them. But the one, I can't remember. Oh, my gosh. I had it, and then I lost it. It was just one scene. Oh, the boat scene. There we go. It's just like, you have it in neutral. And he's like, yep. Uh-huh. Just like, he's so fed up this dude that he's just like, I don't want to listen to this dude. And then of course that part just pisses me off now, where he's just like just where he does this thing, yeah, the a-okay, and he like tisks or something, like clicks his tongue.
I will say that scene where he has to try to get the boat going, the speedboat, by the way.
Yeah, just speedboat. This
ridiculous speedboat that's not even necessary to have, but that's Roman.
Yep.
He was right there, but it has made me, like, if it comes to boats, I don't ever want to have a boat. Like, I don't want to do that part. That part, like, since watching as a kid, I was like, I don't ever want that. Like, talk about anxiety inducing with everyone watching and doing that. I'm like, I'm going to kill myself now. I'm done. Like,
I'm just like, I'm going to go drown now.
Just going to walk in the lake.
Yeah. Gonna keep walking with some like ankle weights. See if I can get to the other side.
Yeah.
But oh man. And then the bat team, which is like, I feel like I've seen that specific scene in so many other movies where it's like the animal in the house and we're following the animal. Cause it really is like the, and it's funny now. Back then, we were like, "Oh, boy, it's a real bat," but you really can't tell. It's just a rubber bat that you get from a toy store on a string. Just it reminds me of, like, I don't know why, but I had the vision of the guy from the commercial, just like, "Oh, you almost had it!
Almost had it!
You gotta be quicker than that!"
Oh my god! The bat scene is just classic. They're all covered up and eyes covered, and he's like, "I'm gonna call it." He's like doing that. He's like, wait, you calling him or you kissing him? I'm calling him. This is the sound they make.
It's the sound they make. Oh, man.
It's a big teeth. Look. Big teeth.
Big teeth. Yeah, and
it's like a 2-pounder.
And of course, like with lake house, cabin vacation, you get like a cabin vacation girlfriend, and that's the. That was the reality for the son, which honestly,
okay.
I feel bad for him.
All right, I'm going to go, like, I'm not even following the notes in order now. because I'm going to talk about this fucking stupid ass storyline. All right. First off, I'm not an actor. I understand that. I'm a teacher. I get that. But I have seen some bad acting.
Yeah.
These two is the worst chemistry I've ever seen. And her name is Tammy or Cammy. I'm not sure. If her name was Tammy, I'm like, Buck and Tammy? Come on. And then, like, she's at work at A&W, and she's talking to this guy she's barely met, acting like, oh, I'll meet at 8 o'clock. And then it's like, people waiting. I'm like, lady, you got a job to do. You're so unprofessional right now. I was just so mad. Every scene that they had with the stupid music, it's so bad. It's
the music
so
got me every time.
It's so cheesy.
Oh my gosh, that scene like makes you not, that whole entire chemistry makes you not want to have a like vacation crush.
Right.
At
it's
all.
That classic, you see that a lot in movies like this where you meet and it's like, oh, the tourist and the local. Oh, I have a problem because you're a tourist, but I really like you. And I only knew you for a day, but we're boyfriend and girlfriend now. As we sit on the boat, it's like, oh, what would you call me? Your girlfriend, and you're going to leave in 2 days. Yeah, no shit. He's a tourist. What do you expect? You're leaving in 2 days. It's not a shocking. It's not a surprise. What are you
talking
about?
They wanted it to be a mute cute, but it wasn't.
No, it's obviously a fling. Obviously. Come on.
It really is, because it's going to be a year probably before you see each other again. And like, look.
Yeah.
I'm all for a hopeless romantic. You guys make it in the end, but for fuck's sake, guys.
But there's a distance. Like, it's got to be like, oh, you're going to move there, or I don't
know. Yeah, it's just like, oh, I'll get you out of here. Because it gives the essence, like, she doesn't want to be there anymore, but also, like,
she's working at that A&W. She's there.
She's there. She's planted roots.
And I was like, she said something to, like, I never really had a boyfriend more than 2 weeks. I'm like, Buck, that's a red flag. Why
Buck.
Is that? Like, Buck?
You got to get into that. You got to be like,
wait,
why? Just like, pause.
Is it because you're only like hooking up with tourists? Because I can tell you why you don't have a boyfriend more than 2 weeks.
Ooh, got her.
Jesus. Even if the roles were swapped, I would say the same thing. It's nothing against Tammy or Cammy or whatever her name is. But it's still like red flags.
It really is red flags. Like, whoever wrote that.
John
like,
Hughes.
John Hughes got heartbroken on vacation.
Apparently. He's usually like great with that kind of stuff. But that was just.
But he's weird. Like, that one was just like, I got to get this out. I got hurt.
Have something besides John Candy and Dan Aykroyd just killing it. We might as well have these two. Oh, no, this fucking sucks. Let's go back to the old 96 or something.
That's crazy how raccoons have a better chemistry than these two.
Seriously. I'd rather watch all those things
raccoons.
Just be the raccoons.
I'd just rather hear the raccoons chittering and
right.
just listening
and
the, to
their
thoughts. If roles reverse, scenes reverse. Yep. If the raccoons had the love story, I would watch that.
It would be more believable than Buck and Cammy or Tammy, whatever it is.
For real, Buck or Tammy. I think it's Tammy, right?
I heard Tammy, but I had the subtitles on and it says Cammy. I was like, what the fuck is it? Which one is it? Tammy or
Did
Cammy?
You watch it on Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, Prime is notorious.
That's messed up because I've got both names on my notes.
You're like, shit.
Which one is it? Cammy Tammy gives a shit.
Cammy Tammy, like, I don't know. Raccoons, better.
And then, like, spoiler alert, at the end, they don't get together because, you know, he goes back home.
Yeah, because reality sets in, you know.
And she's like, you better not think of another. I'm like, you barely know each other.
It's just like, you
was
guys.
A week. It was a few days.
It's like, y'all are. Going too fast. Calm the hell down.
Thankfully, back in the 80s, there was no way like her finding him on social media.
Right? I mean, probably that's why people were so like,
yeah,
just like, give me attention.
Right. That subplot just drove me in. Every scene.
Yeah, that subplot. I'd rather take the raccoon subplot than anything. It's just like, I'd rather take raccoons talking about lips and assholes.
Right? Yeah, just freaking A.
But speaking of the bear, we finally see the bear. And like, through the movie, obviously the whole entire movie is about like, you know, family, because there is a point where like you see a break in Roman, Dan Aykroyd's character.
Well, he was like, oh shit. He was lying. He lost everything.
He was lying. And it's like, for, I think the, frick, I'm forgetting names.
His wife,
John Candy's character,
Chet.
Yeah. Chet had an effect on Roman of just be kind of like opening up a little bit, and just like we had a break in the case of like, oh shit, okay, maybe these guys can get along.
Hold on. You said he had a change. I get at that point where he takes the money.
He had a change of heart because he takes the money. He had a change of heart. Cause like, they and really then he couldn't turns afford back.
Right. He turns around.
Yeah.
I would say before that, no, the only thing he did was go and talk to his daughters about Chet's bear story. And tells a far more terrifying story about a psychiatric patient in the woods who ate a family. That's what he told his daughters.
I know. I wasn't going to mention that one, but you know.
No, I'm going to have to.
You're going to have. Okay, fine. He is in a terrible father, and it is clear throughout the whole movie.
Awful. With
if you're like. That's why I'm like, there's a break in the case, because like you see a break in the character, like finally, like okay, there's
at the end, yes,
there's a heartfelt moment, and he's like, oh shit, and like, but yeah, he just, and the reaction of the daughters is still my favorite. Still, I'm just
they don't sleep,
so scared. They turn off the lights and they're still just wide. They're like,
No, that. But, that moment, though, really quick, reminded me. I had a moment, a time where I was like, oh, my God, I'm a little bit like Roman as a dad. Camden wanted to watch Coraline. She was insisting on watching Coraline. I was like, Cam, you're not ready for this. You're not ready.
It's a kid's horror movie.
Right. And I'm like, I love that she wants to watch that stuff. And I will. We're going to watch that stuff. But, like, easy as we go, you know. We don't want to jump into it, but she was insistent. I was like, you know what? I'm going to let her learn a lesson. So here we go. We made 10, 15 minutes in when we first meet the other mother with the button eyes. And she's like, what's wrong with her eyes? I was like Roman here. I was just brutally honest. It was like, instead of like trying to like sweet talk, I go, oh, they don't have eyes. They have buttons for eyes. And that was the end of that. We didn't watch the rest. She's like, oh my God. Like, oh. Whoops.
Just like, they're in a parallel universe where
she's going to eat her, and she takes eyes and replaces them with a button.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that. We haven't watched it since, and we're going to revisit it when she's older.
Yep. Smart. Because even, like, Coraline, like, messed me up when I first watched it, and I was 15.
Yeah.
I was like, this is for kids?
Yeah, I know. Father of the year here.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you might get started early.
You know, she wanted it.
She did. She asked for it.
You gave her the fair warning. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're not ready. No, you're not ready. It's fair game. It's fair game at that point.
Natural consequences.
Just like you were Chet, and then you turned into Roman.
Yeah, in a Roman moment. Most of the time, I'm aiming to be like Chet. But there's those Roman moments.
I think we all have those moments where we're like, I want to be Chet, but I have my Roman moment.
Like, you know, I don't want that bear story to scare you. Think of soft, cuddly things.
Just like, just instead of soft, cuddly things. Yeah, let me tell you about the man who is so crazy. He lives in the woods.
Yeah, lived in the woods and ate a family. Yep, that's going to be better.
Gosh, dang. But, oh man, if you want to talk about people to feel bad for, I feel bad for the guy who constantly gets struck by lightning.
Oh gosh, Reg.
Reg, how many times?
67 by the end of the movie.
67 by the end of the movie,
He's dead.
Like, he's done.
He's done.
He died.
He was dying. I don't know. He was dead all, maybe he was dead the whole time. Well, no, they all see him, so that doesn't make sense. And he has a scene by himself. He should have been dead.
He should, yeah. What if just like that would have been a better subplot than the freaking romance?
Yeah, still
just like the ghost of the lake.
The ghost of the skunk haired Reg.
Just like, gosh dang. Yeah, no, this dude, 66 times, and like the scene where you get introduced to the guy is so.
I love it.
I'm not gonna recreate it because it is so offensive.
Oh, it's so bad.
Like it could be taken so many ways.
Yeah, gotta introduce thick dick to urinal keg. That's Roman, not me.
But like my question, and it's only for people who have seen the movie, and who if you are gonna see it, I ask the same question: do you think you can beat the 96 challenge?
My arteries are clogging up just thinking about it.
The you don't think you can do it?
The old 96.
The old 96. The 96 is a 96 ounce.
Oh my God.
Cut of cow.
That is a.
I'm not even going to say steak because it's like there's multiple cuts of steak in that 96 ounce cut.
And once again, Roman just, oh my God. I mean, kind of bails him out, but it's such a classic. I feel like. Anytime I hear someone reference that, it's the old 96er. That's the big reference.
The old 96.
And poor Chet has to eat the scene, which to me was a little weird. I don't know, eating that at what, 9 o'clock? Because that's when, I hate that I know this, but I was so focused on the terrible romance subplot. He was supposed to meet Cammy or Tammy at like 9, and he's late, so it's past 9. He's eating this 96-ounce steak at 9 o'clock at night? Now I'm 35. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what maybe, came to mind. I'm like,
maybe at 25, I just have just some confidence in me. I'm like, yeah, I can do it. You're just 30. You're like, no.
That's how I realized. I was like, fuck, I'm getting kind of old here. I'm sitting here watching this movie that I watched as a kid. Now I'm like, oh, that's way too late, Chet. What are you doing?
That's way too late to eat that. 9 o'clock, you're up for hours.
6 ounce steak.
That's not gonna digest in a few hours.
Digest properly.
Oh my gosh! I think I can do it. I think
yeah, your age, but I mean, poor Chet, John Candy, man.
Yeah, there's got to be a place where we can find a 96 ounce challenge.
I don't know if there is something close.
I feel like we could go to like a place in Texas. And just be like, hey.
But that means we have to go to Texas. Boom!
What's the problem in that?
Oh, where do I begin?
No.
I'm not going to do that.
There are three things we don't talk about on this podcast.
Religion, politics,
and the Great Pumpkin. All right?
That's in our mission statements. Things we don't talk about.
Things we don't talk about. These three things.
But yeah,
we don't talk about these three things. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, the old 96er classic. It's like, 96, he's not finished yet. Oh, nothing but gristle and fat. It's like, oh, dear God. Got your pets.
Oh, God. Yeah, that part is when I would question my whole entire life existence. I'll be like,
I'm not doing that. No.
It's just like, oh, that's just all fat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most tastiest part, but still.
So after all that, no, thank you.
But yeah, no, at that part, now I'm going like,
But
maybe I'll call it quits.
Yeah. I totally, you know, I said at the beginning, I was going to mention points where I think it's a horror movie. So
Yeah. I'm still.
This is probably one of them. I would say being dragged across the lake, which we didn't really talk about because, I mean, it's goofy. Like, he gets dragged across the lake behind the speedboat.
Yeah.
It says, you bastard, and like, go faster, which I'm like, yeah, you want to be able to hear him, but that's okay. And then.
It's like, that's a fair point. He said, go faster.
Yeah, go faster. And then just leaving him behind where they're riding the horses. Like, no one waits for Chet. Like. And they just keep going like it's not a big deal. I'm like, this is where he snaps. And in the alternate universe for me, I imagined where it becomes a horror movie when he finally is that moment. He's like, I am snapping. He runs into the big bald-headed killer bear and he kills the bear and wears the bear's head for a hat. That's what I was imagining.
That's crazy.
And then he kills his family with the bald-headed killer bear's head as a hat.
Oh my gosh. And he's like created like freaking like these claws out of the net. And then he just.
And they're like, Chet, what's wrong? He kills Roman first, obviously. Like, kills Annette Bening's character because of a stupid laugh.
It's like, I told you I was old fashioned. I like lips and assholes.
Turns them into, and then he turns them into hot dogs.
Oh my gosh.
That's the horror movie right there.
Oh man.
Every time I'm like, this is a horror movie.
No, just like, don't give any horror like creators any ideas.
You
could do it, but look at what they're doing with Winnie the Pooh and Pinocchio and all that.
This is more realistic. And hey,
That's fair.
The dad snaps.
That was the moment where in like the true crime documentary, it's like it goes into a negative. It's just like it was all perfect. Until it wasn't.
He was dragged across the lake and he finally decided this is how it ends.
I'm done.
But speaking of the bear, the ending of the movie, which really is kind of a departure. Like,
yeah.
It's super, like, it really just takes a turn that always kind of blows me away, where they find the bald-headed killer bear in the mine that the Shining Twins went down when they shouldn't have.
Yeah. And, which I love how they went into the woods during a rainstorm after being told the story.
Right. And also, You're in the house and you leave your kids in the car. Terrible parents, man. They're so bad. Such bad.
They're just
parents,
really bad parents.
Just really bad parents. But yeah, they're left in the car, and they're like, "Oh, where are they? Like, you don't know where your kids are. There's two of them."
Yeah, they look the same. So it's like you have two chances to find it.
Right.
You know,
you at least find one of them.
Yeah, one of them. And it's just like, which one are you?
But. They go and find the girls, and Roman steps up and bees a dad. And after Chet gives him a rousing speech, John Candy, love him. Then, of course, poor Chet. See, once again, this is how he snaps. Goes back, goes, gets the rope, sends the rope down the mine, doesn't think anything's off by no one responding. And, of course, the bald-headed killer bear gets pulled up by the rope. And there's a point that I really love that I always think is when – he's like, I did it. And he sees that it's a bear. And the bear kind of does like a grunt and like almost like, it's fucking you. I recognize you. And they kind of both do that. It's my favorite little moment. I love that so much. It's just like they both do it like, oh, shit, it's you.
It's just like, I know you.
That's what I'm hoping. It's like they did that of like the bear recognizes him as the person that shaved off the head with the shotgun.
Gosh, dang.
But yeah, and then
and then for the horror movie, Chet finishes the job.
Yeah, I got to kill the bear, put it on for a hat.
Jeez Louise, Becky, you know that I'd watch it. Grand Outdoors director's cut. Let's get it going.
The not so great outdoors.
The not so great outdoors.
It's something.
I'm not gonna try to think of a freaking name, but yeah, the movie does he lifts him up, has that moment of like, oh shit, running through the bear, which, hey, John Candy outrunning a grizzly bear, good job man. Just like as a big man myself, impressive.
And then it leads to the classic big bear chase me.
You better chase me. We're making sandwiches.
Big. Oh, big one. Got it.
Yeah, big. Big bear. Yeah, big bear. You're the man. What?
And then who comes to save the day than motherfucking Wally, which I wanted to mention him earlier as an underrated character. Is Wally, the guy that kind of runs the resort, who's got the shotgun lamp. And, of course, he shows up. Because I love Wally. even though he left a man in the wheelchair that was dead at the party.
We'll move past that part. Yeah, but you know, he is. That's probably why he's the underrated. That's probably why there was no attention to him, because he's like,
he just left them there. It was just like, what old man would have like a girl kiss him on the cheek? A dead one. Jesus.
Dead
dude.
One.
Like, I died on the way here.
Gosh. But this man, although he had that moment,
it's Wally,
he comes
man,
to the rescue. Wally. That shotgun lamp. It was it was shown before, and it was classic. And that shotgun lamp works.
Yep. It's like it's loaded.
And I think the funniest noise I have ever heard was the bear screeching, like yelling out the freaking cat. It's just the funniest noise.
Hey, everyone, they don't kill the bear. They just
shoot kill.
The ass. And now he's bald. The ass is showing now.
It's just like he's the bald-headed ass killer bear.
Big-ass bear, too.
He was a big-ass bear.
It was a big ass.
Poor guy. God dang. R.I.P.
Yep. But
he died for real, but not in the movie.
Not in the movie.
So, no animals were harmed.
No, Bart was a professional bear. He knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing. He was training.
Yep.
It's just like when the scene was done, he was just like, where's my towel? He's British.
Yes.
Where's my towel?
Give him my towel.
I need my hot towel now.
But. Yeah.
Oh
no,
my God.
This is classic. I think more people. This is one of those John Candy movies I feel like don't get referenced enough. And like, I don't know if it was. He's got another one that is not. It's kind of similar. It's like a summer vacation movie. I think it was just called Summer Vacation or something. But this just is. I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. It still holds up. Unfortunately, like looking at Rotten Tomatoes, which critics is 40%, 71% audience. So I'm going to agree with the audience here. It's fun. It's class. It's just fun. Dan Aykroyd and John Candy just getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Wow. He was the writer for Vacation as well. Yeah. He's a dude who like really outperforms in just the family like movies. Like he's done Beethoven, like about the dog, which is a great, I like Beethoven, but it's just like, yeah, this movie itself, like I've just found it. It's 6.6 on IMDb, which it's like, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good for like IMDb. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
It's a fun comedy that like, you can all enjoy. It's just, it's the same essence, different plots. It's just like a National Lampoon's feel.
Right. It's clear, just like going
memorable characters.
Hijinks,
Yeah. Memorable actors. It's a fun little family movie. It doesn't have to be around Christmas, but it's definitely like, hey, get the family together and watch it. And that's what we did. But do you have, I feel like with the great outdoors and talking about how things can go wrong, do you have a camping story of yourself, of your own, where it just went wrong in so many ways?
Yeah, I've got one. This is,
shoot.
I think I still hold the grudge against one of my best friends, Ray. We were up at San Juan's and we were, we were drinking. shocking. And we kept saying, we kept quoting Dragonheart for some reason. I don't remember why. Why? Because it was like all the stars and the San Juan's. So like, there's no, you know, you see so much. It's beautiful. There's no towns. It's dark. And obviously you see all the stars. And
there's no air pollution.
No
so
air
you
pollution.
Can see stars.
I mean, we're on Shaw. So it's, it's the least populated one. Like there's not a lot of people out there. Like you could drive a golf cart around and no one would give a shit. Which we did. But we kept saying like to the stars. And we're like, you know what we should do? Not put the rain canopy over and look at the stars in our tent tonight. Well, we are dumb because we're also in the San Juans, which there's It rains quite a bit because Western Washington. Yeah, it definitely started raining that night with no rain cover on. We were drinking. I was definitely going to get a hangover. And I have to wake up to put the stupid rain canopy on. My buddy Luke helps me. Ray just turns over and doesn't even fucking help. And, like, we're getting wet, and the rain's coming in, and he just turns over. And the next day, I was like, dude, he goes, oh, you guys had it. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like, rain's coming out, and you're just laying there and just taking the rain. I'm like, I've never had that happen. That ended up being kind of shitty there.
Damn.
But, yeah. Oh, I have another one, but it involves something I'm not going to share because I'm just not going to.
For professional reasons. Yeah.
So I'll share that one. That's not the craziest or worst one. I do have a worse one, but I don't think I should share it.
We won't talk about that one just like on that one.
Yeah, I won't talk.
Because I think I know which one you're talking about.
That was terrifying. I thought I was going to die.
Go without me. Yeah. Oh, man. Now people are going to wonder, but we're never going to tell you. It's not going to happen. Yeah. We're never going to tell you.
Yeah.
It's like you're never going to know.
I'll tell you, it wasn't alcohol this time. So
it wasn't alcohol, but you're never going to know.
You're never going to know. I'm not saying it. I never said the words.
Like, could have been alcohol, actually. But who knows? But anyways, yeah, great outdoors, honestly.
Recommend.
It was a great movie. Recommend.
Yeah, recommend it.
And then we move into, because that was Great Outdoors was, of course, a Josh pick on this one.
Yeah, I thought I picked a good one. And then my brother.
He picked a good one. And
geez, I don't, I'm not.
And I picked the classic. Come on.
Is it a classic?
It is a classic. We're talking about Leprechaun in the Hood.
Okay, so you just said In the Hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
The title is In the Hood. I think we are racist because we say
In the Hood. Okay,
I wrote that in my notes, but it's actually in the Hood. That's bad.
And then like, there's Leprechaun in the Hood too.
Oh, okay.
So there's the second one. I just say Leprechaun in the Hood because they went for it in the second one.
You watched the first one, right? That's the one we were supposed to watch.
Yeah, the first Leprechaun in the Hood.
With Ice-T.
With Ice-T.
Okay, dude, I was like, I hope I'm watching the right one. Or I'm wasting an hour and a half.
Spoiler, guys, Ice-T is in this movie.
Oh, my God. You set this movie up really quick, and then I'll start. Go ahead.
Okay. So if nobody knows, the Leprechaun series kind of falls into the classic horror movie characters of Chucky and Michael Myers.
Whoa, I'm going to stop it right there.
No. Listen, it's part of that multiple movie character, but it's not about the classic horror movie. It's just a throwaway horror movie character. But if you watch it, it's funny. Leprechaun is a funny horror movie character. It's just multiple movies of the same horror movie character, and it's like, gosh, when is it gonna end? And it does end. They are not making any more Leprechaun movies, I hope.
What? Why?
I mean, hey, Marlon Wayans is coming back for Scary Movie, so it's like he's making the next one. Who knows? Who directed? I should have pulled that up, guys. Dang, Leprechaun.
I got it here for you on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Who directed Leprechaun in the Hood?
Maybe they didn't put their name on it because they didn't want to take credit at all.
Oh, my gosh. Director Rob Spera. Don't even know who. Oh.
Oh, there it is, Rob Spera.
He's done some. He's done some barely anything. But Leprechaun in the Hood.
I was like, are you going to say he directed like an Academy Award winning film? Because that's quite a turn.
That's just crazy. He looks like he would, but he's, not. Anyway, Leprechaun in the Hood, it kind of just, it's definitely just out of the act, not really a part of the actual just Leprechaun movie series. It's just like, hey, what would happen if Leprechaun was in the hood? And one of the things that this character does all the time is he rhymes. He does little rhymes. And I'm so excited to hear what Josh has said about this, because this movie, guys, is, I'm going to say, it's a throwaway movie. I love it so much because it's just funny. It's so stupidly funny.
So I'm going to say the first 10 seconds, I immediately regretted everything. This was the one I was like, what am I doing? Because he starts off speaking in rhymes. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. But then Ice-T shows up, and I'm like, okay, I'm back in. Here we
go. Back in.
I'm back in. And sadly, I remember as a kid, the first Leprechaun was on TV, and I was, like, terrified. And then watching now, I was like, what the hell was I scared of? It's just a rhyming leprechaun that's actually kind of funny, played by Warwick Davis. Poor Warwick Davis is probably only in it because of his height, I'm assuming, which is kind of messed up.
But I mean, he said yes to all those movies.
That's true. So he did all of them. So I guess it was fun.
So I guess he's just, and she's like, I'm making money.
Yeah. So, the first 10 minutes, it's Ice-T and this guy, Ice-T with an afro, which was something else.
The afro.
And they're like looking for like a treasure or something. They come across the leprechaun's gold, which you're not supposed to take. And the first, I was like, this is a racist fucking leprechaun. Because he arrives and he sees Ice-T and his friend. And he goes, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I was like, holy God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, just what, right out of the gate.
I was like, Jesus.
We are just right out of the gate.
I was like, oh my God.
It really sets the tone. Yes, no, this character, Leprechaun, basically leprechaun. How it works is that he has this amulet. I forgot what the amulet is called, but it has a name. And
he has
an amulet where if it's on him, he turns to stone. And the thing is, if you take the leprechaun's treasure, he'll come after you and he'll kill you. And that was like, one through like four, the movies of Leprechaun were just like that horrifying thing of greed and all that stuff. And then Leprechaun 5 came out. And this is Leprechaun 5, Leprechaun in the Hood. And he was just like, we're just going to go with it now. Yep. And it's just right out of the gate, just the most racist thing. I'm like, yo,
I was like, no way.
I forgot about that scene, but it's
right out of the gate.
And of course they're going to play into it. Ice-T was okay with it because Ice-T, again, with the afro, he put it like, cause they start stealing the treasure. They're like, we're going to steal this treasure. Guy takes off the necklace. Leprechaun comes, unfrozen, says the stuff, kills the guy who took the necklace. And Ice-T is just kind of like out smoking, I think, or like looking at something.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and sees his dead buddy with, a pick.
In the throat.
In the throat, like a pick in the throat. I was like, ooh, it's like around the neck, really?
Yeah.
And then Ice-T starts pulling out weapons because
Leprechaun out of his afro.
He pulls a little bat out of his afro. Like first he pulls out a switchblade, and then the leprechaun, because the leprechaun can telekinetically like grab onto anything metal and like, control it. And then just grabs everything out of his hand and makes him throw it and pulls out a bat. And I was just like, okay. just like, I forgot about this scene.
Yeah, this was in the first 10 minutes.
It sets the pace for the whole entire movie.
Yeah, you know what? Like, right at the get-go, I was like, okay, I know what this is going to be.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like the Robots in the Mall movie. It's just the freaking first racist. That center one looks a little.
Oh my God, the racist people and the robots.
The racist people and Chopping Mall. What a classic.
This is definitely a Chopping Mall feel for sure.
It's a Chopping Mall feel to it. Like you gave me Chopping Mall, and I feel like I got to give him something back for it.
You did a good job because this was...
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
This was an experience for me where I was really like, there was moments I'm like, I'm actually kind of liking this and I hate myself for it. And then there's others like, why am I doing this? And then I'm back in. I'm like, okay.
You're just back in.
Over and over. I get back and forth. And then I pause it. And I'm like, oh, it must be like an hour in, right? Nope, 30 minutes. Nope. I'm like, what?
30 minutes.
It's only an hour and a half. It's only been 30 minutes. Feels like it's been an hour.
Yep. It really is. It makes you feel like they pack so much into 30 minutes. And it's like, wow, shit. Yeah. I have an hour more of this.
Yeah. I will say the only thing that I really enjoyed was the three friends. Butch, Stray Bullet, and Postmaster P. I actually think
Postmaster P.
Their chemistry way better than Tammy/Cammy and Buck.
Yeah, way better chemistry.
Was like kind of endearing. Like I actually like these characters. I was like, I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Right?
But that was
these three. Like it was a good like matchup, and Postmaster P. Basically, and it's like. It's an actual storyline to follow. These guys are just like, they're three friends who are trying to make it out of Compton. They're trying to, you know, write music. And Postmaster P, like, he's named that because he's, like, trying to send out a positive message where he's trying not to rap about, you know, whores and drugs and killings. He's actually trying to, like, give something. Granted, it's bad.
It's not good. I mean, his attempts.
He's no Kendrick Lamar. He's not... He's not good,
yeah.
But you're like, okay, but I like that you're just trying to do that. Right. That's a good message that you're trying. So you kind of fall in love with these characters. And man, everybody just gets on Butch for being a virgin.
I know, it's bad for Butch.
Butch was just doing his own thing, man. He was smart,
and that was the problem. He was smart. Even the pawn store owner. Jackie D. Which he was actually kind of funny. He said something about Butch, and Butch, you need to get some pussy. I'm like, where's that?
I'm like, damn, dude.
Lord.
Butch catching strays. That's funny. Strays right there. Butch ain't catching strays. Strays right there.
But like these three, they're trying to make it big, and then they go to Ice-T, who's a successful rapper, because. He has the leprechauns, the flute.
Yeah.
A flute.
A flute.
A flute.
This magical flute.
That he keeps around his wrist all the time.
That's the crystal skull of this movie, folks. It's a magical flute.
Yeah.
It's everybody, like, everybody wants this powerful flute. Because it makes people think that your music sounds good. And that's how Ice-T got his claim to fame.
Other than being an actual rapper.
But like Mac Daddy's character. Ice-T's character, Mac Daddy, got into fame because he had the flute. That's why he always had it on him.
I enjoy it because I got to hear Ice-T say, give him my fucking flute. Ice-T demanding for his flute. I'm like, all right, I'm back in. Here we go.
Gosh dang. And it's like, you believe him. You're like, damn, man, he really wants his flutes. I mean, if it made him famous, yeah.
Yeah. And if Ice-T's asking for his flute, you give him his fucking flute.
But guys, dang. This movie, it has a lot of musical moments, a lot of funny musical moments, especially. Jesus loves me. Who knows? The church scene where it's just like, I'm going to go find a...
You mean the church that looks like it's in a teacher's lounge? That church?
It really... Yes.
It's like
it was
like a teacher's lounge or something. Like,
I honestly was just like, this is the basement of a church.
It's definitely
somebody's basement.
Someone that works for the movie is like, guys, I got this basement we can use. It's a church. Perfect. What is that bulletin board with all that shit on it? Leave it. Fuck it. We'll put a cross on it.
We'll put a cross on it.
That's
whatever.
It's a church now.
It's just like, but no. That scene, I was just like, when they were talking about, now, Jesus don't like cheap. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Just like, here we go. Just like, get ready for the religious jokes. All right. Yep. It's like, as like, I am a follower myself, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll just take them. Yep. Honestly, like, hey, it wasn't that bad. I picked the movie. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. The Reverend had the leprechaun's hand go through his stomach. Granted, the Reverend was, I think, going to hook up with a hooker, right?
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, come on. He got what he deserved.
Did he?
He play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
I didn't think it was going to be a hand through the stomach.
He was still going to hook up with the girl that was like,
green eyes.
He still had the green eyes. Yeah.
That's,
he was still going to be like, kind of with it.
There was some gnarly deaths.
There was some gnarly deaths.
Pretty brutal by the end. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, this movie is your classic, like, easy storyline to follow. And these guys are just.
No. It's very layered. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle. Like easy to follow. More focuses on the leprechauns. Rhyming.
That's all
and
it was. It was just ways for the really leprechaun to make puns.
Rhyme. I was hope. I still wish there was a rap battle, like the leprechaun and freaking Postmaster P.
The leprechaun raps at the end of the movie.
I was
like, "What the fuck did? What the fuck is happening?"
That's how we got. That's how we got the place.
He just
took over. Freaking this movie is so good.
Is it?
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Honestly, should have won an Oscar.
It should have gotten best song because there was the song. It was after when Postmaster P is like, we really suck because the guy like throws the beer bottle at him.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, we really fucking suck.
Like, we really suck. But then they use the flute. Obviously, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And they sing the song of like, do what you got to do. I was like, kind of bobbing my head. And
I was like,
is this on Spotify?
I was like, do what you got to do.
I kind of hope it's on Spotify.
Like, okay. That's pretty fire. Like, does the magical flute turn them into good rappers? Like,
yes, it does.
Hell yeah. Just like, no wonder.
He ends up abandoning all the positive stuff by the end of the movie.
Honestly, it's just like, but there was one character that I definitely wrote notes down where I wrote question marks.
Miss Fontaine?
Yep.
Poor Miss Fontaine.
There's a line. There's a line that I grabbed that I was just like, oh, I was like, wait, pause. What? Because that's what I wrote down. It's the part where it's just like she sees the leprechaun and she's cross dresser, like all that stuff. And leprechaun comes in and she says, you are just the perfect size for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, pause. You like,
Miss Fontaine. R.I.P. She obviously dies.
R.I.P. But she might have been
action from him. I was like,
a leprechaun is the size of us. You know, tying a little guy and just like you're the perfect. You're my favorite size that I like to go for. I'm like,
look at him. Like, really?
Yeah.
Respect yourself, Miss Fontaine. Respect yourself.
And then like the three, like Scooby Doo style. These three guys are really just like Scooby-Dooing their way through this. They like open the door, like looking in to, because they hear, you know, Miss Fontaine, you know, they think they're thinking she's getting lucky or, you know, is getting lucky. But no, he's dying and getting choked out. And the line that they said at the end is just like, she's getting busy.
Oh yeah, no, those the three main characters to me made, like, every time it was just them, I was in. But then once the leprechaun shows up and gives the fucking rhymes, I'm like, God, fucking leprechaun's pissing me off.
It's just like, this dude is like, get out of here. I actually want these guys to make it.
I care about their story of, they got to get to Vegas, man. Are they going to make it?
Yes, I think they're going to make it. And then it's just like you want them to make it. But you go through, they're doing these shows and they're trying to, you know, because they stole from Ice-T's character, Mac Daddy, like the flute. So you got the leprechaun trying to get his flute and Mac Daddy trying to. So it's just, they're getting followed by two different sources.
Right.
And, you know, they finally get caught up and he has to give up the flute. But I was pissed off because Postmaster P made a move to try to get the leprechaun. And we see our boy Stray Bullet. He caught a stray bullet, like, yeah, to the head.
He was
by himself.
Shoot himself.
He was forced to shoot himself.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
For a second, I was like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, I liked Stray Bullet. I liked Butch. Everybody flacked on him. All three of them. Postmaster, it was like Stray Bullet. He was just like, yeah, you know, that's the only way to make it out. We got to talk about hoes. But Stray Bullet was like, just like, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Right. Just for their situation that they're in.
Right, right.
Just like, but
I had a question. Nah. Is there a real Leprechauns for Dummies book?
Sorry, say that again. Could you?
Is there really a Leprechauns for Dummies book? Because that's what Butch was reading.
I was hoping you would catch on that.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wait, what?
And. No, I don't think there is an
I don't think so.
But there is Catching and Trapping a Leprechaun for Beginners on Amazon for $6.99 paperback. Just gonna add it to the cart really quick.
Can you put two on there?
Yeah, I got you when we go to, you know, Scotland. Kidding, Ireland. Call back.
I
made my own stupidity a callback. Look at that. We'll buy two books. This one only has 2.33 stars. Ding. Never mind. But yeah. No, Leprechaun for Dummies was a fun.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, it is a funny movie.
It's a funny movie. It makes you laugh. You get caught in. It's definitely a different feel, you know, from Great Outdoors. But if you want to, watch them back to back.
Yeah,
because it is a definite movie night combo for real.
Jarring. Really quick. Oh my. Poor Butch dies a virgin in a dress.
And his last words: "Do you think there's pussy in heaven?" And I said,
"You can't make
no.
it up, guys. Can't make this up. That is a line in the movie.
That is a line in the movie.
And it didn't get an Academy Award for Best Screenplay.
That's what I'm saying. Best screenwriting ever. Yeah.
Or best song.
Best songs. Yeah. Best soundtrack.
Yeah. Best. Yeah. Best soundtrack.
No, when Butch died and the line, "Is there any pussy in heaven?" I was just like, "No, buddy, I'm sorry."
It's a fair question. I was like, "Butch, that's a good question." And he has a diamond dress.
It's like, sorry, man.
Which I thought them going to take on the leprechaun dressed as women was awesome. I was like, this is just getting good.
I honestly was scared that Butch was just going to freaking bite the bullet and get with Miss Fontaine, but I was glad he did it. I was glad
he's too tall for Miss Fontaine.
True. I forgot. I picked. Yeah. She's got a thing for, you know.
No judgment. I just feel like she could do better.
You know, she likes kids.
That is not what she said. Just short.
We can infer.
Short people. Or leprechauns from Scotland.
Okay.
So Rotten Tomatoes, shocking, 33%. You know what? That's higher than I expected.
Honestly, 33% for Leprechaun in the Hood. Yeah, fair. Yeah. I'll give it that. Honestly.
And then audience is
31%. I would give it a 90, but.
Audience is 31%. So, yeah.
Ah, man. You uncultured people. You don't know art.
Yeah, I know. Most of these reviews, were you expecting anything different? They're like,
honestly,
worst.
If,
worst movie I've seen in a while. What were you expecting from Leprechaun?
What do you mean? Yeah, it's like, it's just like, what were you expecting? You weren't expecting Interstellar, please.
Yeah, you're expecting Christopher Nolan.
It's Leprechaun in the Hood.
I was looking to watch Oppenheimer, and I got Leprechaun in the Hood.
Gosh dang, Oppenheimer confused the hell out of me.
But this one makes sense.
But this one makes sense. I understand it. And maybe that is a red flag to my intelligence.
People,
but, you know,
stop worrying about what happened in the past and focus on what is happening in 2000 with Leprechaun in the Hood.
Exactly.
Even though,
why do we care about Oppenheimer? He built the bomb, and he was in bed with a German. He was,
you know, like, what? I bet you he probably had something from the Leprechaun too.
Honestly, maybe.
I watched this movie thinking it was like 1994 when it was made, and then I looked up and it was like year 2000. I was like, what? No way.
Honestly, yeah. Here's the thing.
I was like, this isn't 2000.
If the Leprechaun was pulled up out of the cave out in Great Outdoors, would that make it a better movie?
There's the horror movie right there.
There's a horror movie. Leprechaun and John Candy together.
No, Chet kills the Leprechaun and wears his hat.
Oh my gosh. And then Chet just starts rhyming.
Yeah, because Chet
starts rhyming before he kills everything in the pair. Let's go. Let's make this movie. Let's make this crossover happen.
Man, that's
this
a
is how
that's a movie.
That's a movie right there.
That is a movie.
I'd go to IMAX for that shit.
But guys, there's this movie.
Guys, hear me out. And there's this movie.
Great Outdoors, Leprechaun, crossed.
Just like, what else
then,
do I have
and
to
then
say?
Postmaster P has to show up and stop him.
Absolutely. All the main characters from
come
all
back.
The Leprechaun.
All Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston's got to come back.
Jennifer Aniston comes back for Leprechaun to end it once and for all. We saw the end of Michael Myers. We saw the end of all these movie characters.
No, Michael Myers still going. They're going to make more.
Michael Myers got chopped up. He's dead.
Nope. They're going to make another one. And also,
you're lying. That leads into the new news about movies.
I got a bone to pick with you here really quick, though. At the beginning, when you were talking about this, you were saying it's in the same vein as Halloween. Don't you ever say that. That is not. Michael Myers is classic. This is like Jason Voorhees crap.
Well, here's the thing. It's sad that in the 2022 film, they made a worse movie than Leprechaun in the Hood.
That's,
my opinion.
It was bad. Are you talking about the third Halloween?
The third Halloween, the one recently. Halloween end.
God, that was bad. That was disappointing.
It was so bad. You're lying. Wow, I can't speak. Halloween, a new chapter? What?
Told you. They made a Leprechaun.
They got to stop.
They made a Leprechaun movie in 2018, but it's not Warwick Davis.
Dang. They need.
Stop making Halloween movies and make more Leprechaun movies.
Make more Leprechaun movies. That's what we need. We need more rhyming.
We need more rhyming in horror movies.
We need more rhyming and killing.
Yeah.
and give us a rap battle between Postmaster P and Leprechaun. Yeah. I bet people are going to comment, have you not seen Leprechaun in the Hood 2?
Well, I guess we're going to have to because I'm curious where that goes.
Hold on. If there is a rap scene in Leprechaun in the Hood 2, that will be our next movie.
So I guess what's confusing me is why he didn't kill Postmaster P and just had him like seen.
I
don't understand that. But I guess
I have
no, one really
no idea.
That. It's not like this movie would make sense anyways, but
it's like, come on.
There's a Leprechaun 4 in space.
There's a okay,
which they obviously Jason Voorhees they ripped that off because Jason 10 is in space, but Leprechaun did it first.
Yeah, Stane, there was no rap battle. And yeah, they need to make them a new. They need to. What are we doing, peeps? What are we doing here? Leprechaun, bring it back.
Making Oppenheimer instead.
I want to see Kendrick Lamar and Leprechaun have a rap battle.
That would be amazing.
I would watch that movie, and Kendrick Lamar would probably do it. Please. Gosh dang, if Leprechaun in the Hood was Kendrick Lamar's like favorite movie, I don't know what I would do with myself with that knowledge. I don't know what I would do. I would listen to his new album, and I'm like, fuck, he watched Leprechaun.
What if that is what inspired him to?
If that inspired him to do one song in his arsenal of freaking songs.
It's like, what's your biggest inspiration? Leprechaun in the Hood.
Just honestly, that credit scene in Leprechaun really got
Warwick Davis, man.
Just like I sampled it.
He's the goat.
He's the goat.
He's
my biggest inspiration.
Who's the greatest rapper of all time? Not Eminem. Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis.
Oh, I've heard of him. Oh, he was in Leprechaun movies. you know, the guy from Harry Potter that plays the short one.
If I was ever in an interview about like music, it's just like, oh, the greatest rapper, Warwick Davis. I don't think I would be able to like keep a straight face on a Jimmy Fallon looking at me and just like, so like, well, what is your?
He would laugh and break anyways. He breaks at everything. You just like,
and I would just, I would try my best to just stare at him, just like straight face, just like, I'm serious.
Dead serious right now.
Just Davis. Like, I'm serious.
Like, you think I'm kidding? Have you listened to his bars? Like, come on.
Why are you laughing?
Why are you laughing?
I actually brought a clip of him rapping.
It's just, oh my God, so bad.
Oh my God.
And this is
super serious.
You're 2000. That still blows my mind.
Dude,
he raps like it's the early 90s. Like it's some old lady of like, I'm an old lady and I've got some words to say. Like that kind of crap.
It's like, yep. That's his extent of rapping. And that's so why I want to see a rap battle. Kendrick Lamar.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
Two good movies. Well, one good movie, one fun one to watch.
Two great movies, honestly. Two 10 out of 10s, would recommend. Should have won an Oscar. Like gosh dang.
It was an experience for me, I will say.
Try watching it back to back.
Would I recommend it? If it depends on what you like, go into it knowing what you're going to get. Please
look, honestly,
don't expect anything else.
Oh man, I won't quote that line in the movie.
Yeah,
I was gonna go. I'm like,
oh Jesus!
And there's ones that I'm like,
It's like, ooh, this is definitely 1994. I mean, 2000.
2000s. Yep, it's a 2000s movie, and it still holds up. Still holds up.
Still, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Sure, it does.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, any other thoughts? Any other things we want to add here? I think there's not much else to cover on Leprechaun in the Hood.
There's not really much to cover on Leprechaun in the Hood. It's just a funny movie. I think just to wrap, like wrapping closing thoughts. Now these two are, in my opinion, they're fun movies. Like if you just don't take it too seriously for either of these movies.
No. Yeah,
like, I mean, like there's going to be some points and signs, but these movies both like, hey, if you're down for just a fun, like, oh my gosh, like even I was surprised Josh even here was like, you know what? I was actually hooked. Like
I will say it was literally just because of those three characters, their story.
Yeah.
It's just like, I was into, like, if the movie didn't have the leprechaun and it was about these guys trying to get away from Ice-T and trying to make it. That's a movie. Like they're
characters. That's a movie.
Like, it was really like I really cared about Butch or Dutch Butch, Stray Bullet and Postmaster P. Like I was really like yeah. sad when Stray Bullet died.
Just like you like you got to see into their lives, like what they are. Like they had depth a little bit. They had not like an Oscar, like not like Oppenheimer, but they had depth for a horror movie in the 2000s where it's super racist.
Yeah, depth. Yeah, all right. It was, yeah, it was, okay. It was very racist.
You know, it's better than a freaking puddle of death. I've seen some movie like freaking Bodybuilder from Hell. What?
That still haunts me.
Talk about our season one movies right now. Let's talk about death.
That one, I still think about that movie of like, what the hell did I watch?
Somebody was just like, it's the worst. Somebody was just like, I watched this movie. It's the worst movie I've ever seen. I'm like, you want to see a worse movie? You want to see a movie that's just going to end in 10 minutes?
Oh, that went on forever.
Oh, my gosh. So. I'm just like, and yeah, you can watch it. Just like, it's out there to watch. Somebody posted that. It's
yeah,
like, gosh,
someone made
damn
that
it.
In Japan
in
the 90s.
Gosh dang.
Oh, man. Well, that's our episode of Screen Bros. Justin, what are we watching next week?
Oh, man. I've really thought long and hard about this one, and I'm pulling out some heaters this season.
If you say Leprechaun Into Hood 2, I'm going to be very upset. I need at least a month.
Oh man, I'm about to make it a hell of a lot worse for you, my friend. This one, it is a 2015 film.
Oh God!
And honestly, first time I had to watch this movie, I had to drink Jameson straight just to get through it.
Well,
we are watching from my end, Llamageddon.
God. And I'm doing dry January, you son of a bitch. You have to be sober for this?
You gotta be sober. I'll be sober too.
Great. Yay.
Llamageddon.
Okay.
Here's the thing. You ready? All I'll say, a vengeful llama from outer space lands on Earth and brings death and destruction to everyone on its path.
Okay, well, as long as he doesn't rap, I'm good.
He doesn't rap.
Okay. Well, I want to go with what I originally planned, but I switched to Great Outdoors, is the 1980s classic comedy Clue, based on the board game with motherfucking Tim Curry. Let's go. Clue and Llamageddon. Here we go.
What a combo. Oh my God.
I am enjoying the very, different spectrum here.
Yes.
Type of movies. This is going to be a theme here. We're going to go good comedy or drama or something, and then we could go just with batshit crazy.
I watched Clue not too long ago, and I was like, you know what? I'll watch it again because it's such a good movie.
It's a great movie. Like, based
one of my friends told me it was her favorite movie, and I was just like, okay. Like, I saw the main character. I was just like,
dude, the cast is
all right. The cast, I was just like, all right.
Yes.
I gotta watch, Clue, and I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it again because it is. I'll already say spoiler. It's got some rewatchability for sure.
Hell yeah! I haven't watched it in a while, so I was like, "That's a good reason to watch Clue again."
This is gonna be great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
Anything you want to add before we end?
No. Honestly. We're still working on what we're going to add for the game at the end.
Yeah. Season 2 is going to be a little bit different. We're a little bit more structured.
Season 2 is going to have we're going to definitely play around a little bit. Definitely have a little bit more of a spectrum of movies for sure. Definitely some toss-ups, as you can already see.
And those of you that have been listening in the beginning, I know our first season, we were kind of all over the place, but I think I'm happy with it. I think we're going to find our footing.
Yeah. So we'll get
be patient.
We'll get our footing. We can just be patient. We're starting out. Never done this before. We're just two dudes talking about movies, man. That's what we're doing.
We are professionals. We professionally suck. So we're doing this on our own.
Yep. So don't do it at home.
Yeah. All right, folks.
Don't be like us.
Don't be like us.
Yeah, don't.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in, Screen Bros. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share your thoughts on these films with us. We want to hear your favorite moments and any other absurd movies you think we should check out. And we will see you next week with Clue and Llamageddon.
Heck yeah.
All right, everyone. See you next week.
See you.